Have a look at Matthew chapter 19. I'll read from verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Great multitudes followed him and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him. They came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Hallelujah. We shared a little bit of that this morning. All right. The Pharisees talk about marriage. Jesus talk about singleness. The Pharisees talk about marriage and divorce. And Jesus said, in the beginning, God made a male and a female. Hallelujah. They got married, but in the beginning, God did not create a married couple. God created male and female. Well, are you all right? If you want to stand, you can. I'm going to sit down. You're quite welcome to stand if you want to stand, but I'm sitting down. Hallelujah. We shared a little bit last week about divorce, and we said that divorce is sometimes worse than death, because in a death there is a burial, in a divorce there is no burial. It keeps on coming up. Divorce is a death without a burial. That does not mean that divorce cannot be healed. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted." Divorce is not the breaking away of just the breaking away of two people. It's the tearing apart of two hearts. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Divorce is burial free. And divorce keeps resurrecting itself when you bump into the one that... Hello? Every time you take custody of the kids, you bump into each other and things that happen resurrect themselves. That does not mean, as I said, that God can't heal it. God heals the brokenhearted, and many people that have been divorced are remarried. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Amen. So we talk a little bit on that, the worst scenario. Now, some of you may not have been married, but you have experienced a tearing apart of a relationship. You've known somebody, you thought this was going to be the one, and then all of a sudden, you realize that things were not working out, and there's a tearing apart of heart. So you experience a kind of divorce, even though you're not married. Relationships sometimes don't work out. Are you okay? How many have been in a relationship that hasn't worked out? That's a lot. Hey, hallelujah. How many know the pain of that? Glory to God. So we'll just hit on those high points and then we'll get into a little bit more. I'd love to just douse you with everything that I know, but it'll not do you any good. It's like opening your mouth to a faucet and then the faucet, you can't even breathe. All right? So you need to drink it a little bit at a time. All right? How many know when it rains so hard, the rain just gets on the top of the ground and then it just flows? How many know when it drizzles, it soaks the ground? How many know when the rain drizzles and soaks the ground, the worms come up? And there are some things that need to come up and let the drizzle of God's Word, the dew of God's Word, just come quietly so that those things that are inside need to come up. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So don't rush me. I'd love to rush into it and get to the conclusion. But we said some time back that when you understand what a journey is not a trip. Now, marriage is not a trip. Singleness is not a trip. A trip concentrates on destination. A journey, everything in the journey is as important as the destination. Now, when people don't like their singleness because they think their singleness is a problem, the first thing they want to do is get on the altar. And they get there and they realize they married a monster. Why? Because you're on a trip. You just want to get to the destination. It's not a trip, it's a journey. And everything that you go through, you need to look at everything. The experience of the journey is as important as the destination of the journey. Hallelujah. How many know you don't have eternal life when you die? I write unto you that believe in the name of Jesus Christ that you may know that you have. You have eternal life right now. You can't wait until you die. Eternal life is yours right now. You will never ever die. If you kick the bucket, we'll put you in a coffin, but you don't die when you kick the bucket. Because you already have eternal life right now. You don't have to wait until you're dead and in a coffin to find eternal life. You have eternal life right now. I write to you, children, hallelujah, that because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It's a thing that you have right now. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Now, when you get married, as we said last week, everything is decorated. You have your beautiful dress and you have your nice tuxedo. The church is fantastic. There are flowers everywhere. People put on their best suit and they all come to the church so that you can get married. And the minister announces at the end of the ceremony, those whom God has joined together, let no judge put asunder. I just thought I'd throw that at you. If God puts you together, there is not a single human being that can separate you, not even a judge of the court. Because the judge did not put you together, it was God that put you together. Hallelujah. And so it says, you give your vows to one another and says, until death do us part. Hallelujah. So when you parting because of death, you do exactly what you did on your wedding day. People come to church. The church is decorated. People wear their nice suits. And they come to church and after the service they have a meal. Why? Because now the covenant is ended. As much as you celebrated the wedding, you celebrate the coming to the end of a covenant. People come, we celebrate, we give God glory for this life. He goes to Adamaho, his body goes to Adamaho, his spirit goes to God, and the covenant is ended. God put them together. Until death do them part, and God who put them together is the God that's going to separate them at death. Is that good? Huh? Yesterday I was in Nelson. Ian McIntyre died on the mission field. Farewell his wife Tricia and his girl. Everybody came. Everybody celebrated. Why? He's gone home. The covenant is... Are you okay? Is that good? Hallelujah. You should see some of your faces. Hallelujah. Now, you can't get a divorce unless you have a marriage. So you might as well not get married and have a divorce. Are you okay? But marriage is impossible without individuals. All right? Say amen. Amen. And the problem we have in the church today is that people constantly think that singleness is a problem. And if you think singleness is a problem, you're going to rush into a marriage because you want somebody to help you, and you lean on the person you're going to get married to. You lean on God. If you're a bad single, you'll be a bad married. If you are a stinking single, you'll be a stinking married. If you're a lazy single, getting married does not make you unlazy. Is there such a word as unlazy? When you there is now. When you come to the altar, if you come to the altar lazy, you may be dressed up in a nice suit, but inside the suit is a lazy man. And if you're an idiot, you'll be married to that lazy man, and nothing changes at the altar but the fact that you're now married, and when you leave the altar, you leave the altar with a lazy guy that came in a suit. Now, if you are an unclean bride and you don't shower very often, you may shower on the day of the wedding and you look fantastic, but when you leave the altar, you leave with a lady that doesn't shower. And ladies, when they don't shower, stink as bad as a man that don't shower. So you need to be happy with your state, because the next state of your life, you bring what's here to the next stage of your life. It doesn't change. And if you're not a happy single, you won't be a happy wife, you won't be a happy married man. If you're a violent single, you are going to marry a violent man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you're a single and you go and ask a divorced person about marriage, guess what? You will never be married. Because they know the pain of brokenness. Are you okay? Say amen. Is this all right? If it's not, we can always change the subject. Hallelujah. How many married a lazy man? Let me ask you a different question. And one of the things we ask when we do marriage seminars is how many realize after the wedding that they married the wrong person. You know what? 99% of the people in that marriage seminar will lift up their hands. And that's when we do a marriage seminar, we do it in America, we do it in Australia, do it in Samoa, do it here. When we do a marriage seminar, the first question we ask when we have the marriage seminar, how many know right now after having been married that they married the wrong man and they married the wrong woman? I mean, it's amazing. Why? Because you don't really, huh? Hallelujah. So listen, okay? Praise God. Singleness, therefore, is more important than being married, because you bring your singleness into your marriage. And when you're a good single, you bring an asset to your marriage, because God is a God of multiplication. God will add to your life. God is not going to give you a liability. And when you marry the right person, that person will add value to your life as much as you add value to their life. But if you marry the wrong one, they say that a good marriage is heaven on earth. A bad one is hell. You should see your faces. I like it. Glory to God. You need to value your singleness. Value the state you're in. Whether you're divorced, widowed, or just not married yet, you need to know that you can still have a ministry as a single person. You can still be anointed as a single person. You can still be whole as a single person. And when you're a whole single, you get married, you get a great marriage. But if you're not a whole single, if you're not an anointed single, anointed one, annoying one instead of an anointed one. Hallelujah. Say amen. Praise God. I like that. Where is that? That's in Psalm 25, eh? Oh, it's right there. Yeah. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 25. Show me your ways. Let me go there. Psalm 25. How did I get there? Because I saw the thing on the Psalm 25. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in your truth. Three things. Show, teach, lead. Show me your ways is a revelation. God revealing things to you. Teach me your path, instruction. Lead me in your truth, direction. So you have revelation, you have instruction, and you have direction. And people are looking for those three things. They want to know where to go. They want to be instructed in the things of God. Hallelujah. And they want to be led. Which direction do I go? The Bible says, show me your ways, O Lord. And when your heart is for God to show you things, God will show you things that you don't know. He said to Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That's revelation. And he said, teach me your paths. Teach me the paths of the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Every single path of God has two ingredients, mercy and truth. When you find a path that don't have mercy and truth, it does not belong to God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? The law came by Moses, but mercy and truth came by Jesus Christ. Mercy, the way of the Lord, the paths of God, all His paths are mercy and truth. Your mercy reaches to the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Don't you read the Bible? So it's like it's an unbalanced thing. Mercy goes further. Mercy reaches the heavens. Truth reaches the clouds. And every time you minister God's grace, God's truth, it has mercy and truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If there's no mercy, you can't give the truth. Because when you give the truth without mercy, it has no life in it. It's only death. Why? The truth is the sharper than a two-edged sword. And if it's given with no mercy, it's like operating on somebody with no anesthetic. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is that good? Good sidetrack. All right. Verse 10. Are you still on Psalm 25? Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant. Now, what is God's covenant? What is God's covenant? Marriage. Are you okay? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Hallelujah. Now, verse 14 says this. The secret of the Lord is with them who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. That means the secret of the Lord is a covenant, and the covenant is marriage. Hallelujah. That means when you find the right person, when you find the right one, don't rush out. Don't rush in where angels fear to tread. Don't even leave the security of your home for the wrong person. You're going to rue the day that you leave the security of father and mom, the security of your home, and marry the wrong guy, and marry the wrong woman. Is this all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, where do you find, as a single, where do you find a person you get married to? Now, we said, Jesus said, in the beginning. So you go back to the beginning. God's most favorite prefix is re, R-E. Restore, revive, refresh, repent, reinvent, reconstruct, renew. Hello? Are you okay? And some of you need to rebuild. Some of you need to restore. Some of you need reviving. Some of you need restoration. Some of you need to repent. Hallelujah. So when you go to Auckland, you realize you made the wrong move. You return, return, return. Now that takes courage to do that. Some people through pride will still stay there and they return. What did he say? Your problem is you've left your first love. Return to your first works. Return to your first love. Return. Aren't you glad he didn't stay home tonight? Hallelujah. God is good. So, it says here, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Hallelujah. Show them what it is. The secret of God is a covenant. Without a covenant, God has nothing to give to us. The whole revelation of God to us is two covenants. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Marriage is a covenant, and the secret of God is outworked through that covenant. But it's a covenant between two singles, two individuals. Are you okay? Singleness is more important than marriage because, hallelujah, you need to be a whole single. Glory to God. The problem is, many have never been single. Now that sounds like a conundrum, but if you're a great single, you'll be a great partner in marriage. So don't avoid singleness. enjoy the fact that you're single. Do you have a question, Mrs. Sarah?
So what is singleness?
What is singleness? Good. Now she wants me to explain something that I said. Singleness is being single. Now, God does not want you to be alone. Don't confuse being alone and being single. You are never to do life alone. Now, when you are a secure single, you can go anywhere and nobody will pressurize you to change your values. Now, most of that will come from your dad. Your security, your identity, and your self-worth primarily comes from your dad. And now dads are not even there. Absentee fatherhood is the thing that is plaguing the world and the church. If we could just get the fathers right. And we'll talk about that next week, because next week is Father's Day. Huh? You'll enjoy it. Hallelujah. Are you okay? God never wants you to do life alone. When God looked at Adam, it wasn't Adam's singleness that God was concerned about. It was Adam being alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. Don't isolate yourself from people. We walk in the we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That means there's sin that will not be cleansed unless you have others around you. Are you okay? Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Say amen. Now, Jesus was single, but He was not alone. He said, everything I do, I see the Father do. Everything I say, I see the Father saying. I hear the Father saying. Hallelujah. Are you okay? He said, I came from the Father, and I'm going back to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to heaven. No. He said, no one comes to the Father. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor need a shadow of turning. Now, young people that are single, when they are secured in the love of their fathers, nobody can pressurize them to have sex. They are secured in their singleness. Now, because fathers, ding-dongs, get a girl pregnant and then leaves, the father is the mother that raises them, and God will put father men around your life that will love you as a father, and you glean from them. Hallelujah. We'll talk about fatherhood. I'm talking about singleness this week, but I'm just trying to let you know that you are secured in your singleness because of the security of the home that raises you. And when you rush out to get married because you think your singleness is a problem, you leave the security of parents, of great friends, and you rush out and marry a monster. And then you realize, why did I do that? My purpose is to get you to love your singleness and to understand that God can make you whole in your singleness. And you don't have to be married to be whole. Hallelujah. Now, Paul said, if you're going to burn up with lust, get married. But if you don't, just stay single. Now, one of the greatest problems that can happen, you come out from a bad relationship, and you think having the next one comes along, it's going to heal your heart. Wrong, 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 wrong. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Well, let me get back to being single. We do a lot of detours, but some of the detours are better than the real thing. Why? Because the journey, every part of the journey is as important as the destination. Now, many times, many years ago, I haven't done it for a long time, I used to preach a side sermon, like the side, you know, the side order you get in the restaurant. So I would preach a side sermon for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'd preach the real sermon. Most of the time, the side sermon is better than the real one. Are you okay? Say amen. The Bible dictates how you live your life as a single and be satisfied with that. And my job is to frighten you into not getting married. Hallelujah. Are you okay? God will develop your singleness, and it is one of the most important things in life when you develop your character as a single human being. Now, the word character comes from the word statue. Statue. Now, in front of the the council is a statue of Mr. Balance. If you go there today, it's sitting in a particular way. If you go there tomorrow, it's still sitting the same way. If you go there in the snow, it's sitting the same way. If you go there in the heat, it's sitting in the... It does not change. The weather doesn't change it. Time doesn't change it. It is sitting in exactly the same way. Character is like that. Whether it's stormy, whether it's raining, whether things are tough, whether things are not tough, or you can't get a job or you get a job, whether you pay the bills or you don't pay the bills, it's sitting in exactly the same position. And God is like that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God wants us to imitate Him as single people, that it does not matter what comes, you are exactly the same as you were yesterday. Whether things cloud in or things don't cloud in, you are exactly the same. Now, our problem many times as single people, you go into a different environment and you change. That's what we said this morning. You move out of your grace. And environments can seduce you. You may not drink. You get into an environment where people are drinking. Guess what? You will drink. You may not agree with premarital sex. You go to a party where there's sex. You are going to change your values. Why? Because the character has not developed. You're not secured in your own singleness. And environments can seduce you. That's why you can go to university a Christian and you may come out not a Christian, because the environment wants to change you. Hallelujah. But when you are in that environment and are secured, no one can ruffle you. Are you all right? Dry lips. Are you okay? Is this all right? All right. Got a daughter of a friend. They went out to have a sleepover with her friend. But they've got different values. So the mother allows them to go out on a party. And she came home pregnant. She was a virgin when she went for the sleep out. What happened? You get into the wrong environment, the environment will seduce you. And if you're not strong enough in character, are you all right? Now, we said last week, where do you find a man? Now, God created the heavens and the earth and made man in His image and put man in a garden in a particular environment. Where do you find a husband and a wife? You find them in the same environment. What is that? The environment of God. That's why part of the reason you come to church is to find a spouse. Now, many people leave the church, go down the pub and find a spouse. Wrong environment. We went to Hawaii. And we spoke there. And a huge church. The pastor said, no one in the youth group will have a relationship within the church. So his daughter married a Mormon. I said, where do you expect your young people to go find their spouses? Waikiki Beach? If you can't let them have a relationship here, where they are watched over by the rest of the church, where their boundaries are put together, you expect them to go to Waikiki Beach and find a wife and find a husband? That man, I'm grateful to that guy. Because he repented. And he got on the stage and he said to all his young people, come here. And he said, I was wrong. And his very daughter was one of the fruit of his stupidity. Because his daughter married a guy who's not even a Christian. Now, if you find a guy that is ashamed to lift his hands, is ashamed to get in the presence of God, he is the wrong guy. I don't care how much he may have a nice house, drive a beautiful car, lives in a beautiful place, wears nice clothes, he's the wrong guy! Unfortunately, many people in the church, including fathers, will give their girls to somebody that has money, even though he's not saved. I can't go down the pub, find a guy there, and then try to drag him to the presence of God. And the problem today is we invite Jesus to the wedding and invite the devil to the reception. We want Jesus' blessing, but we want to do our own thing. So we ask you, bless us, cut our covenant, and after the covenant, you go down and you invite Jesus to come and bless your wedding, and then you invite the devil to come and entertain you. I want to be around to marry all these guys. And they better find one that loves. Otherwise, now I've done that before. And a very, 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 very close friend of ours, their eldest daughter, beautiful, beautiful girl. She went on the Miss McDonald, won the competition. She was very good looking. She got married a guy that was not even saved. Asked me to do the wedding. I said, no. Broke my heart. We are still great friends. We still love that girl. But I'm not going to get them to cut a covenant when the guy lives in darkness and she lives in light. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship is light and darkness? and many friends, we didn't even go to the wedding. They said it was a great wedding. I don't care if the guy is good looking. I don't care if he's got wealth. If he's not a Christian, he's the wrong guy. I don't care if the girl's good looking. I don't care if she's got a great job. I don't care if she's got a great salary. If she's not a Christian, she's the wrong girl. Now, Samson was born in a miracle. In fact, he had two angelic visitations before the guy turned up. It was amazing. The first place Samson went to when he grew up, he didn't go to church. He didn't go to a prayer meeting. He went to Philistia to look for a girl. Hallelujah. That did not work out. Guess where he went next time? He went to Philistia again. He went to Gath to find a girl. The guy is anointed. The guy is single. The guy is called of God. But he keeps on going to the wrong place to find a spouse. Now that did not go well. Even though he got up in the middle of the night, having committed sin with this girl, he got up in the middle of the night and picked up the gates of the city and he walked uphill with the gates, not downhill, uphill. Man, that's powerful. And one of the worst things that can happen to you is you sin last night and you sing like an angel this morning. The third time, you think you learn his... I mean, one time should be able... You should learn your lesson after one time. The third time, the Bible says, he went down to Sorek. And then he met Delilah. And thought Delilah was a nice girl. But he got his beans. His eyes were dug out. Lost his vision. Lost his dedication to God. Shaved... The Philistines shaved his head. And he began to ground the corn that the donkeys of Philistines... He did job for the Philistines. A single guy. Anointed. Called. Miraculous. But went the wrong way. You can't go the wrong way and try and drag somebody into the presence of God. And Samson is a great lesson of somebody who's single and going the wrong way. When the Bible tells you not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, how many know God is cleverer than you? Hallelujah. Who hasn't had tea? Who wants some tea? What was that? Hallelujah. Now, amen. We said about principles that life functions by principles. And if you operate by principle, a principle will protect you. The moment you misuse the principle, you will get judged. Are you okay? How many know that if you jump off the second floor window, you're not going to go up, you're going to go down? Why? Because it's a principle, it's a law of gravity. I don't care if you live in Russia, if you jump off the window, you're going to drop down. I don't care if you're educated, you're going to drop down. I don't care if you're Maori, European, Pakia, I don't care if you're thin. When you jump off a window, you're going to float, you're going to, Now, if you get high on drugs and think, I'm going to fly, guess what? If you jump off a window, guess what? You're going to die. Why? Because it's a principle. And you have to honor that principle, otherwise you're going to die. Hallelujah. Principles are not the same as facts. Now listen to me. Because many times, if you allow the facts are temporary. Regard your singleness is temporary. The fact that you're here tonight is temporary. The fact that you're dressing nice tonight is temporary. The truth is, you're going to have pajamas later on before you go to bed. And every fact is subject to change. Our problem is, when we look at the facts, we allow the facts to dictate to us how to live our life. So, when you look at yourself, you look at your friends, and all of them are getting married. You say, I should get married too, because I'm going to be left behind. No, you're not. As long as you think like that, you're going to allow the temporariness of facts to dictate and be lord over your life. Principles are not facts. Facts are not principles. Just because you are now 30 or 40 and are still single does not mean that I should rush in. Why? Because I need a child and there's so, you know, my body is not the same. Those are all facts. Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham's body was dead. They still had a... You need to live by principles and not let facts. Now, if Sarah went to a doctor, doctor said, sorry, honey, too old. But I'm going to have a baby. The medical facts speak for themselves. Do you want to go find a specialist? And if she goes find a specialist, sorry, too old. No more eggs. Go to another specialist and go to a friend. Friend said, sorry. And go to another friend and said, sorry. Just have a cup of tea. And forget about it. That's a pipe dream. What's the truth? What's the principle? Now, right now, you may be broke. And that's a fact. But if you live by principle, you won't be broke forever. In fact, you might not even be broke by the end of next week. What's the principle? Given. It shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Hallelujah. The fact is, you might be sick right now. But if you live for Him, hallelujah. The Bible says, because of their iniquity, they got sick. Even to the point of death, they didn't even want to eat. So the condition was so bad, they didn't want to eat. And then the Bible says, and then they call on the Lord. And the Lord sent His word and healed them. You may be sick, but that is subject to change. And if you live by principle, God will bless you. God will honor you. And as a single person, you just need to live by principle. Why? Because principles never change. Principles work for Samoans as well as for Russians. Principles work in Italy as well as in Timbuktu. They're the same for everybody, regardless of color, creed, race, profession. The principles are the same. Hallelujah. That's enough.